Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. I'm here today. My name is Jim Case, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Dr. Jeffrey Smith. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jim. How are you? And tell us where we're going today.
Another amazing adventure. This is actually a continuing adventure. In our last podcast, we started talking about psychedelics. We started talking about the perplexing fear of death that sort of pervades the human experience. And we began to dive a little bit into the science of what's happening in the world with regard to the use of mushrooms and the treatment of PTSD and anxiety. And Jeff brought his background to bear in the process and shared a lot of really great information about the evolution of this process. And now we're at a place in the world where that research can begin to happen, and we can begin to potentially see some huge impact for people who have been having that PTSD or having those traumatic experiences, and being able to overcome and excel and grow beyond it with the help of some of these plant medicines. So we wanted to continue that conversation. And today Jeff is going to take us a little bit down the rabbit hole, so to speak, meaning we're going to dive deep on this because it's a very powerful subject. It's a very necessary subject, I think. And for us here at Adventures in Truth, because we're about presenting truth, we want to be able to really provide as much of a foundation as possible to all of the listeners about what this experience is. And part of that is starting this off with the question that we asked in the last podcast, which we want to kind of re-stimulate a little because we're going to take it even deeper. And that is, what do you feel? What do you experience when you think about death? What is that? What goes on inside of you? Do you feel that clenching in your solar plexus? Do you start to get sleepy because it's just not a topic you want to deal with? How do you feel about the idea of death? And we're going to ask you to take a minute as we're doing the introduction to just kind of feel your way into that, because that energy is what we want to try to stimulate so that you can begin to see how it's working in your own experience as we talk more about this process with the mushrooms and plant medicine. So I am going to turn it over to Jeff right now. We're going to be a little lopsided for a little while because we're going to be talking in technicalities and in some other areas as well. So bear with us. It's going to be an amazing process, and we're going to carry you along with us all along the way. So Jeff, the floor is yours. Thank you all for joining us. Let's have a great podcast. Ready to dive in?
Yes, we are. We have dove in. So people may be thinking from the question we asked at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not afraid to die. I don't think about that at all. And I would say, yeah, you do. And here's how. If you look at the TV shows you watch, if you look at the movies you go to, if you look at the things that catch and hold your attention, they all, I won't say all, a large majority, big, big time percentage of that is going to be in some way connected to death. The main character may not die, but there's a story about death of something. So largely when we're talking about fear of death, it may not necessarily be a conscious fear of death. And what do I mean by conscious? Let's do a little quick review. Consciousness researchers on the planet say 2-5% of our mind is conscious. That means all the data, who I am, where I am, what's going on in my life, all the people I know, all the facts and figures I know. the decisions that I'm making consciously. So that means if you're really lucky, only 95% of the mind is in the subconscious, unconscious realm. For some people who are less conscious, it could be as little as 2% consciousness and 98% subconscious and unconscious processing. So what we're talking about today are the fears that we have about dying that live in the subconscious, unconscious realm. And we try to tickle those and we try to entertain those. And we're trying to reconcile our death by watching the movies that have to do with vampires and Martians and zombies and the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and aliens and serial killers and tsunamis, wildfires, earthquakes. I mean, you name it, there's a movie out there that has provoked those fears and those thoughts of how do we make the transition from this life into our death and then on to whatever is next. And so ultimately, we would call that the fear of the unknown. So how do we solve that equation? So if we're going to have a fear of the unknown, and the solution for that would be to know it, so it's no longer unknown. So this podcast is largely about, in the last couple and the few that will come, is going to be about practicing dying so that it is not a mystery. We completely eliminate the fear of the unknown so that it can be known. And you may say, well, how in the world can you do that? Well, stay tuned and we will tell you. And you'll get a little bit of a glimpse of workshops and seminars and books and things that are coming from this work, from this download, if you will, that all began to unfold for me in a very clear, concise way. If you go back with me, it's almost been a month, January 20th, I got to participate in a ceremony that involved the hero's dose of psilocybin. And again, if you haven't listened to the last couple podcasts, please don't try to absorb this one without the previous ones, because it just won't do justice to what we're trying to present, what we are presenting here. Not trying to present, but what we are presenting here. It's really important that you follow this in sequence to stay with us so that you can get to the place where you can hear what we're saying and it'll register with your psyche, it'll register with your spirit, it'll register with your ego, so you can flow with us through this. So if you haven't, please stop now, go back. If you have, bear with me for the repetition and we'll keep driving forward. So part of what led me to signing up for blocking out time in my life to go have this experience is I wanted to have it experientially rather than academically or professionally or anecdotally. Through plenty of books, movies, films, journal articles, experiments. There's lots of data out there to absorb that way. But I wanted to go have a personal experience with it. And for me to do that, I did it through a religious affiliation so that there is no legal issue or there's no impropriety or, you know, treading water outside the boundaries or whatever. So in California, you can participate in religious ceremonies with a religious organization who uses these plant-based medicines to enhance evolving, enlightenment, growth, those sorts of things. So I was working with a well-established organization that practices in Encinitas, California, and they have a temple that they have built in the backyard of a very nice home, fairly close to the ocean. They've really gone out of their way to make it very comfortable, professional, clean, contemporary, all that sort of thing. So I'd signed up for this about a month or two before I attended. Out of nowhere, I start getting cold hands and feet. And I don't mean about attending the event. I mean literally, my hands and feet began to, out of nowhere to me, just being cold. And I've never had cold hands or feet. If you ask my girlfriend, she's like, yeah, Jeff's a heater. He's my human heater. I'm always kind of warm, always has a lot of heat going on with me. So that was a symptom that showed up to me out of nowhere and for no good reason. I began to have more sciatic problems in my lower back and left hip. I have an ongoing issue with my right foot that there's a neuroma that has been an ongoing problem for me, in that to try to treat it, I got 21 shots in my nerve in that foot this year, and then we stopped because it wasn't helping. We stopped, meaning the doctor that was working, the podiatrist that was working with me. He said that my body was regenerating itself faster than he could kill the nerve. So we just stopped after 21 fun experiences of that. I have been getting hay fever symptoms in the wintertime. Okay, wintertime hay fever. That's kind of like, whoa, wait, what's going on there? I started getting headaches. And so it's like, what's happening to me? I didn't know what was happening to me. So day of the event, I'm driving over to Encinitas. It's about a 30-minute drive. And I'm literally having a hay fever attack so severely that I'm driving with a cloth under my nose to catch all the mucus coming out of my nose. I had taken two antihistamines to try to stop all the blockage, and it wasn't happening. So I get out of the car, and I'm laughing to myself with my back hurting, my foot hurting, a headache, this cold hands and feet, and all of this mucus, and I'm wondering, can I even participate? Because I didn't want to be a distraction to the 12 other people who had signed up to go on this journey. So I'm a wreck getting there. Once there, we assembled outside the temple around a really nice built-in fireplace, an outdoor fireplace. We got kind of the rules of the grounds of where to go to the bathroom, and just kind of the ground rules for the ceremony, which was going to be about a 12-hour event from start to finish and doing the debrief in the morning. And again, I'm sneezing. I'm trying to sit away from everybody because I didn't want to be a distraction, but I really wanted to have this experience. So after everybody got there and we're all kind of getting settled in, we take our shoes off and we go into the temple, and we start the process by everybody took a turn one by one of stating what their intention was for participating in the ceremony, if they had a prayer of what they were asking help or guidance for, and we had to pick a card that was like these tarot cards that were in the middle of the circle that we all formed inside this temple. And we picked a card, and none of us really knew what these cards were. They weren't tarot cards, but they were specific to the cards this shaman used for this ceremony. And I picked the card of forgetting. I had no, it didn't mean anything to me at the time that I picked this card. So after we went around the circle and each one of us stated what our intention was, and for me, my intention was I wanted to get clarity on a new opportunity that has come my way of getting involved with the effort to clean up the homeless situation up in Skid Row. And if you haven't heard about that, you will shortly. Big effort coming from the administration to deal with this crazy homeless epidemic that's happening throughout our country, and mainly in California, or a lot of it in California. So I really wanted to know, is that something I should be involved with? Because it would involve downsizing my practice and making really a huge career shift. So big concern and wanting to get some clarity in that. My prayer was, who's going to be involved with this with me? Going to need more help. I was asked to be the clinical director for this initiative, and I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to need some help, so who's that going to be? I wanted to get some insights onto who that was going to be. And then I drew this forgetting card. So after everybody went around, that took probably 35, 40 minutes. So the ceremony started at 5:30. It's now probably 6:30. We have our tea, so the plant-based medicine was in a powdered form. It got mixed into a cup of tea. We all drank our tea, and then we laid down, and we were covered. This is an outdoor temple that was about 2 feet off the ground. You could see through the boards that we were laying on to the ground, so it had no insulation. The walls could be opened up during the summertime to let a breeze through, and this is December 20th in Southern California. That overnight cold temperature was probably 50 degrees, but with a lot of humidity. So, you know, for us Californians, that's chilly. That's cold. So just setting the stage for, and that's important. You may wonder, why does it matter what the temperature was? You'll see in a little while why that mattered. So we were also laying on these mats and covered up by blankets. And because I already started out cold, I had the shaman put 5 blankets on me, and I still was wondering, is this going to be enough to make it through the night? Because she said we had the option of staying there and spending the night, or going to our places of residence and then coming back the next morning to debrief. So as we were there, we're laying down, and the campfire that we were standing around went out, and all the smoke was blowing, for some reason, was blowing toward the doorway of the temple, and I was closest to the doorway, and the smoke was literally blowing right in my nose, which made me have another attack, to the point where she brought over a Kleenex box and set it right next to me, and I'm just going, because I was trying not to go chew and like blow my snot over everybody. And she's like, it's fine. It'll calm down. You'll be okay. You can do this. And I'm like, can I? I'm freaking miserable. I have pain all over the place. And I'm having this allergy attack. And I'm just wanted, you know, was not enjoying myself at all. And that was the start to my journey. So as a little bit more time went by, she's playing tinksha bells. She sang. She chanted. She played Tibetan bowls. And came around and was like just anointed, or not anointed, but applied essential oils on our temples, and you know, was like just gently massaging shoulders and just kind of attending to everybody as we were starting our journeys. And so I'm now maybe 40 minutes into that journey, and I'm starting to have these, why am I moving around? And I felt like some kind of a alien inside of my body as I was just exploring all these different positions. And I was laying on my back, and I kind of looked this way, and then I looked that way. And everybody else, I could kind of see like maybe two people to my left and two people to my right. And they were all laying like they're out. Like they're in the yoga position of the corpse pose, and they're out. And that kind of like, wow. I remember her saying the corpse pose, and that's a little piece to this too. So now about an hour and a half into this thing, I'm completely clear in my sinuses. The smoke is still present. Everything else, whatever made me sniffle or sneeze or give me the attack, was obviously still around me. But I'm so clean, I had the thought, have my sinuses ever been more clean than they are right now? And I'm like going... And I'm breathing in and breathing out, and I'm checking it, and I'm rechecking it, and I'm noticing my eyes don't itch, my eyes aren't watering, my throat's not scratchy, what just happened? Because I'm having a completely different experience than I was only moments, if not minutes or a half hour before. It just stopped. So at that point, I'm now getting hot. So I take off the first blanket. Nope, that's not enough. Take off the second blanket. Get all the way to the fifth blanket, and I'm taking these off, and I'm laying there on my back. I have a sweatshirt on. I have a t-shirt on, underwear, gym pants, like sweatpants and socks. And I'm too hot for the sweatshirt, so I take that off. And I'm still looking around going, everybody else is still laying down quietly, and they've got their blankets on and everything, and I'm hot now. And guess what? My hands and my feet, they weren't cold any longer. So that was symptom number two that cleared up. So then I had a vision as I'm still moving around. For some reason, I pulled my right foot up like you could hold as a kid. You used to be able to pull your foot up and kind of massage it right in your lap kind of thing. And I was putting my thumbs right on top of that neuroma. And initially it really hurt, but I'm just massaging that nerve. And I'm like, my gosh, my foot doesn't hurt at all. And I can't remember in the last couple years when I've had that experience. And then out of nowhere, I had this image of somebody putting a spear through my foot. And I looked up and I saw like this centurion or this Roman guard or somebody kind of at that era, literally driving a spear through my foot. And I didn't freak out. And I'm just kind of like, oh, that's why this hurts so much. It was just an awareness of, oh, that kind of explains it. I'm connecting the dots here. And I'm thinking, kind of be nice if we pulled that out. So we pull that out. I keep massaging it. And I'm like, oh, that's a lot better. And by this point, I'm now so hot, I take my t-shirt off. So I'm now there just in my sweatpants and my socks. Those had to go too. So take my socks off. could have taken my sweatpants off, but decided otherwise. I just simply rolled those up to my knees. And now I'm sitting up. Everybody else is still laying down. And I'm having this experience that I'm wondering, am I doing something wrong? Because it's like, which one of us doesn't look like anybody else here? And I look at the shaman, and she just, I have my eyes open, everybody else's eyes closed. She just nods at me, gives me a wink, keep going. I'm going to backtrack just for a moment. Part of the ceremony also included acknowledging your forgetting card and going and placing it on the altar in the temple. And the altar was set up like in three levels. And there were pictures of ancient masters with bowls and vases and decorum. I don't know enough about how an altar is set up to accurately describe it. But there was a picture of Jesus. There was a picture of Yogananda. There was a picture of Babaji. There was a picture of Krishna and maybe four or five others. Mm-hmm. And these vases and these flower arrangements, it's just beautiful. And as you looked at it, it just kind of like, wow, that's really, whoever put that together, great job. So we were asked to place our card next to either a picture or an item on the temple. And I was drawn to this tall vase at the top of the altar, and I put it right in the top. And when I put it there, the shaman, there were two shaman, they both looked at each other and they started laughing. And they're like, you're going to have a really amazing experience. We're not going to tell you anything about this right now. But, you know, hold on, you're really going to like go somewhere here. Well, as it turned out, I put it in this vase that was about plant-based medicine. I didn't know that that's what it was, but that represented all plant-based medicines. And I stuck my card right in the top of it, basically like say, I'm here, I want the ride, show me what this is all about. And that's where it went. So as I kept going, I was just noticing that I'm making these really strange, almost like morphic poses. And then it caught my attention as I'm like having one of these things. I got this idea of all the people that were captured in the lava flow from Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii, I believe, if I have my facts. And that's the image that was going through my mind. And I got this idea that, oh, that's how they were at the moment of death. And as soon as that notion came into my mind, I began to get encouraged to strike all of these different poses based on where I was feeling pain in my body. So as I got into like the downward dog pose and just stretched into it, I felt a stabbing pain in my back that I can have at certain times that'll show up. But as I began to find it and to really isolate it and to let my mind really find that place that I could isolate it the most, and then like take in a deep breath and squeeze that the perineum that I believe is part of the body that allows us to hold and squeeze or make sure our urine stays in, I was all constricted up, and I moved my neck and my face. And I was willing to open my mouth like I was having a moment of death. And in that moment, I saw somebody stab me in the back with like a long sword right in the place that it hurt the most. And then somehow I was inspired, just release it, just a big and let it all go and lay back down in the corpse pose, which was perfect. And this just let the integration happen. And so here I've had this big, intense feeling. I'm now sweating, and I'm having this big, huge release of, oh my gosh, what if the fear of death that I have been holding on to subconsciously and unconsciously and carried from one lifetime into this lifetime has manifested itself in this part of my body, and I've been carrying it around, and doesn't matter what I do, where I go, whether it's a psychiatrist, whether it's pain meds, whether it's whatever, that won't go away. I've never been able to get that to go away. So in the corpse pose, I was encouraged in that moment. I believe God, the great white buffalo, the spirit guides, all the elders and the people up on the altars, wherever the inspiration was coming from, told me, forgive the person who stabbed you in the back. Forgive. an essential element of this process. Accentuate it, heighten it, express it physically as if it was really happening, and you have to strike the pose that you were likely in. Imagine a sword in your back, the face and the grimacing and everything that would go along with that. And then releasing it, dying, literally dying, forgiving the person who was involved with that activity, as well as maybe even forgiving yourself that maybe you started the fight and it didn't go your way. So that whole process of forgiving the foe, forgiving yourself, and then forgetting. And all of a sudden, forgetting came into my mind. I'm like, I pulled the forgetting card. I get it. I see why this all happened here. Oh, wow, that's really, really, really an important part of this. Forgetting about it. So this has taken maybe 30 minutes, an hour, that I'm describing in 5 minutes, maybe 10, of everything that was happening. And it happened over and over and over and over again. What I mean by it happened over and over again, as I kept getting encouraged to find different poses, I would notice these aches and pains that I've just been carrying with that have manifested in my body all these years for just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of fear, subconscious, unconscious fear. I'm a combat trained former Marine, so there aren't a lot of things that scare me consciously. But I'm like everybody else. I am a fear sponge. We literally absorb it into ourselves. And then that manifests in our body as physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. Over time, that then creates a state of dis-ease. Chronic pain becomes dis-ease. And then we have all those experiences. So that was happening for me over and over and over and over again through this plant-based medicine journey and ceremony. And it was well guided. It was well orchestrated. There was nothing but love in the room. You could see that I'm fairly well still animated about the whole experience. It's getting close to a month ago, but I still remember it just like almost like it was yesterday. I've told maybe about a quarter of this experience so far. So I'm just wondering, if Jim, you have any thoughts, I want to continue with the story, but I'm wondering if you have some thoughts or some conjecture that from a different perspective could get our audience engaged in experiences they may have or may look forward to having at some point in time.
Absolutely. I just wrote a note to that very point. I wanted to specifically speak to, the overall experience, because as I talked about briefly in our previous podcast about this topic. Just to remind the listeners, I have also ventured into the plant medicine. I went down to Peru and spent 8 or 9 days with a shaman down there. And he has actually been a guest on our podcast and will be a guest at the end of the month. So look forward to that as a part of this dialogue, because I think he will rock your world. But the thing that struck me that I really wanted to draw attention to, as Jeff was talking about the process, and as he was talking about finding, he found the pain, and then he was finding that pose of where that thing happened, why that is significant, and why that is important. Because for some, I know that some of our listeners may be going, okay, that's really interesting, and it's creative, and it's imaginative, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, There is a core concept that I believe very strongly that has come out as a part of my own awakening process. And that is that if you think about in human physiology, the DNA has been a big deal about who we are for a very, trying to understand it, trying to what does it do? What's its purpose? I have a very strong experience of, and part of that came through my own process of realizing the DNA is the embodiment of all that we have ever been, all that we will ever be, and all that we have ever experienced. And so it doesn't matter what body you show up in, you carry the DNA of your soul. You carry the DNA, you carry this map of all that you are, because all that you are is all that is. And I don't mean to mean like ridiculously esoteric. You are a spark of God. We are a spark of God. We are a spark of creation. And every time that extension reaches out into time and space and becomes physical. Within the physical body, there is a map, and it's called the DNA. And the DNA tells, not only does it tell potentiality, but all that potentiality is driven off of all of this immense history that we have being physical, being incarnate. And so there are, you know, we've talked over time in our own podcasts about how stuff stays in your field. When you have a trauma, when you have an experience that affects you deeply emotionally, it lodges in your field. That doesn't go away unless you deal with it at some point. And it doesn't go away over the process of incarnations, because it's an integral part of the energy you brought to the planet this time for the purpose of evolving and growing and becoming more of who you are. So the amazing thing about this experience, as I'm watching and talking about it, is that direct connection to tapping into those things that have hindered or encumbered us because of the emotion and the energy that we impacted at that moment. And the story is really irrelevant. But the cool thing is that when you go there, when you bring that energy forward and you bring it to the light, you know, what I like to say, when you bring the subconscious to the conscious, you now have a whole different opportunity to change and create massive change. And this speaks to everything from generational issues. A lot lately, you'll see in a lot of things that are coming out to end the cycle. You know, that family history, that old energy that has been dragging from generation to generation to generation. Many of us in this current incarnation have the potential and the ability to eliminate that entire strand of generational issues, because we're willing to do what Dr. Jeff is talking about, which is going to that place, going to the brink, going to that place of the death pose, going to that death place, so that you can free yourself from all of those energies. So that to me is remarkable, and it's amazing to hear you unfold it. And I'm loving the stories of it, because there's so many parallels for both of us in my own personal experience. Again, dealing with my own stuff, but the parallels are fascinating. I don't know if you were expecting that, but there you go.
Yeah, it's perfect. And one of the things I recall from my studies of plant-based medicines creating healing, and once again, healing is different than treating, as far as most of our what we call medicines in the U.S. and in the Western world, they are not medicines with regard to healing. At best, they relieve the symptom, but they don't actually heal the symptom.
Right.
Or they will inhibit progression of the disease, but they won't actually heal the disease, because they can't treat the fear that created the disease. So here's why the plant-based medicines work. Harvard is doing research right now on telomeres. Telomeres are a part of the DNA strand at the very end. Think of a shoelace. And there's a name for, and it's evading me right now, that part of the shoelace at the end that has like a plastic wrap around the end of it. And that keeps it from unraveling. It also lets us poke it into our eyelets in our shoes, right? So this is so freaking trippy, what I'm about to say. This is so fun to share this information. You can look at the length of a person's telomeres and predict how much longer they're going to live, because they shorten as we age.
Wow.
So what I got given in the plant-based medicine ceremony is that it stops the shortening of the telomeres and can actually lengthen them again. At the Harvard studies, they're not talking about how fear shows up and starts the shrinking of these telomeres. They're not making that connection. That was the connection that I got. They're simply saying it's age related. And what they're working on right now through the process of CRISPing, which is the ability to splice, to do gene splicing, is that they are able to synthetically lengthen the telomeres, which will give mice, snails, amoebas, the things that they're working on right now, a doubling or tripling of their expected life, their life expectancy. So one of the things that came clear to me in the plant-based medicine ceremony was that it is our fear, it's our, again, if we're fear sponges, if by eliminating our fears and living in truth, which is really the hallmark of our podcast, is about dispelling distortions of truth, otherwise known as lies, and exchanging that for the truth, we can and will stop the disintegration of these telomeres on our DNA strands and potentially slow down the aging process, if not actually eliminating it, if we want to. It's a choice. Some people want to get the heck out of here and just let her rip. But for those of us who might want to stay around a little bit longer or might want to decrease what we think is a natural aging process, we now may have a choice to be able to do that without going to John Hopkins or Harvard or something and participating in a human trial of lengthening our telomeres by gene splicing and stem cell implantation. That's how they're doing it. They're manipulating stem cells by lengthening the telomeres of the DNA and then putting that back in the person. It's pretty cool stuff, huh? That's directly connected with our length of life. Mm-hmm. And that plant-based medicines could decrease that process. And how we know that happens is it does a reboot of our fear, what do we call that? A circuit, our fear circuit.
That's good.
Okay, can we?
That speaks very much to what, yeah, good.
That was a good introject that I otherwise wouldn't have remembered or brought into this podcast had you not participated the way you did when you did. So thank you.
Absolutely. There's one other thing I want to interject if I could. It's been running around as we've talked about fear. Again, I keep hearing that, everybody has a different perspective, I think, of what fear. And I kind of want to couch this in the idea that think of the fear as a capital F fear. So it's not the minutia of being afraid of snakes and being afraid of ants or being afraid somebody's going to say something mean to me or, those are all relative fears. But when we're talking about the fear, we're talking about fear in specific, we're looking at the fear of death as the foundation for what all the other fears are based on. So this is sort of like the big F fear. So I don't want the listeners, and I'm going to encourage our listeners to think of it in terms of things like self. There's small s self and capital S self. The capital when you use it as a capital is more a statement of the connection to the higher self or the divine. Think of the fear a little bit that way in the same capacity. But I also want to clarify that the fear is not something that is innate to our experience. It may be integral to the human experience because of how we're entrained into it. But it is not something you bring with you as a core thing, if that makes any sense. It's because it's the interaction. When you think about it in terms of the things that Jeff was talking about, getting stabbed in the foot or getting stabbed in the back, and that those experience and the visuals of that, that was stimulated by the fear that was propagated in this experience, which stimulated the energy in his field, in his experience. So it brought it forward. So I hope that makes sense. It didn't come in as fear. You didn't come in as a fear-based being. You came in as a spark. And within the context of time and space in the world, in the human environment, you're entrained into fear.
Yep.
So it's a whole different animal. So I just want to make sure that that's delineated because it's an important understanding about especially dealing with psychedelics. Because if you're thinking about, oh my God, I'm going to deal with my fears. I'm going to spend the whole time having spiders run all over me. Well, no. And that potential exists if that's what your focus is. If that's where your energy is, it may be a part of the experience because it's something that needs to shift and change.
Yeah, it's a really important point you bring out, Jim, that it could sound terrorizing to relive getting stabbed in the back with a spear or a sword. But what I'd like to share is that my experience was just exactly the opposite. It was an unveiling of where those pains came from. And there was also an awareness that it wasn't happening in the moment. It was not happening. It was a very clear awareness of it happened, but was not happening.
Yeah.
And therefore, there was no response of the autonomic nervous system to feel like I had to fight something or run away from something or freeze until the danger passed. I knew there was no danger present. The shaman actually created that environment that I knew everything was totally safe. I knew where I was. I knew who I was. There was no vast disconnection between my reality and whatever was going on in my mind. It was just like I got to look into something that I'd never seen before, is really what it was.
Great description.
Can I continue with the journey?
Please.
So throughout the maybe next hour, so we're probably about 2 hours, 2.5, maybe 3 hours into the experience, and they had advertised it was 5 to 6 hours that you would be in that altered state. So I'm probably peaking about this time. I had at least throughout the night 20 of those moment of death recollections and struck the pose, felt it, got the relief from it. I'm really connected to reliving that right now. And it got to the point again. So remember, I'm now laying on the floor with only my sweatpants on, rolled up to my knees, no shirt. And I had the awareness that I was levitating, but I wasn't. I mean, it felt like I was completely weightless. And as I was laying there, still with sweat off my brow and deep breathing from all the intensity of these contortions and these moments of death pose, I got to experience what I call post-orgasmic bliss.
Mm.
And it lasted for at least 30 minutes where I just laid there and I just giggled. I giggled with the excitement of absolutely knowing that pain isn't real, because I wasn't having any. In that moment, in that place, it was gone. My foot didn't hurt. My back didn't hurt. My hip didn't hurt. My leg didn't hurt. My sinuses were clear. My eyes stopped watering. My throat stopped being scratchy. All the conditions that I brought there, that I now know why I brought them there. I had the perfect clarity of why, for 2 months prior, all of these things started going on in my body so that they could not go on in my body, so that I could realize that those were all manifestations of fear that had physically manifested in my body as actual symptoms. Mm-hmm. Physiological symptoms and the pain. And I just laughed and giggled about that whole thing for an hour, really not moving at that point. So you would think by then, since I'm not moving around any longer, I would have gotten cold. Well, actually just the opposite happened. So after about, imagine having a 30-minute long orgasm, and yet it had nothing to do with sex. So it's just a metaphor. But for me, the way I would best describe an orgasm would be, to me, I call it the white room, and you're just in this place where there's nothing but white light and pure loving energy, and everything is acceptance and everything is connected, and there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no conflict. It's just all good. Everything is just all good. And I'm feeling completely one with everything. To me, that's an orgasm. And that was going on for me for a period of almost 30 minutes. So completely pain-free, and just all these connections were just lighting off in my brain about how all the things I've learned as a health practitioner, dabbling in the medical field with how you have to know about psychopharmacology and the body and kinesiology and blah, 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 blah. And it was all just a bunch of hogwash, because I was literally having an experience that had nothing to do with everything that I had been taught. And that was kind of funny and humorous to me. peeling the onion of the distortions of truth that I've professionally believed for decades.
Jeff, can I jump in for a second?
Of course.
There, another important intersection, especially because we're talking about plant medicine, and it is a critical understanding of what transpired for you from the time that you decided to the ceremony. Intentionality is extremely important, and you'll find if you do the process, any good shaman will tell you to set your intention. But the thing to remember is that at the moment that you have decided, or the moment that you start entertaining participating in the plant medicine, you begin to unfold your energy toward that experience. So it happened when I went to Peru. It happened when you went to do this, the Hero's Dose. I've heard it umpteen times that it what's happening is not happening to freak you out. It's happening to bring awareness.
Absolutely.
It's important because it's a significant part of getting to the ceremony, because you're actually already intermingling in that energy. You're beginning to allow that. With the ayahuasca, they talk about Mother Ayahuasca, and that you can build that relationship in advance of actually doing the medicine. And so I wanted to address that only because, again, it's very easy to go to, oh my gosh, I just must not do this because everything is falling apart. I'm getting sick. My body hurts. This is just not the thing for me. And it's actually the complete opposite.
Yeah. Imagine if I had bailed, right?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No. Oh yeah. That would not have been fun.
So at this point, I'm now so hot that I have to go outside. And so I look around and I kind of make eye contact with the shaman, and she's like, yeah, I know you got to leave. So I stood up and I walked out the doors, and I'm barefoot, and I walk across the lawn, and I notice all the dew and how cold it is, but my feet aren't cold. And I go over to the campfire that's now just some smoldering embers, and it's dark outside. There was hardly any moon that night. It's clear. I could see the stars, and I'm thinking, I want to get this fire going again. Not that because I'm cold, just because I like campfires was kind of my thought. And I was thinking, oh, how cool it is that we've got this built-in stone fireplace, fire pit. So we got the earth in element there. There was a water feature that was still going and a pool nearby, so the water was present. Of course, the air was there and fire was missing, so I needed to get the fire piece going. So I got that going again. Somehow, I didn't know where they kept their wood, but there was a little shack and I walked behind it. Oh, there's the firewood. I just kind of led to it, and it's dark. I don't have a flashlight. It's probably midnight at this point. Grab a couple pieces of firewood, come back over to the fire, do my Boy Scout thing of get the fire going again without, you know, matches, just blowing on it and kind of stacking it right. And before you know it, it flared up. And so now I turn my back to the fire, and I'm just having, again, it's like, I could not have been more happy and more content if I tried to be. It would not have been possible to make it any better than what it was. Just that simple description I gave you. I'm thinking, I love Encinitas. I'm only a couple, you know, maybe 20 minutes away from where I live. So I love this part of California. I'm looking up at the stars at this point with my back to the fire, and I kind of start arching backwards, and I get this notion to keep doing these moments of death poses of just an ache or a pain or something that's giving me tension or something that's giving me, you know, just after standing there for, like, I probably stood there for another 30 minutes, which is just strange to think of me standing in one place for 30 minutes, because I'm not that kind of person. But yet I was doing that quite contently and peacefully and joyfully. But yet after a while, I would notice just by standing in one place, I would get an ache or a pain. And so I started focusing on that, and I felt one in my leg, and then I struck the pose again, and I looked down, and I literally see lions chewing on my leg. Oh my God. It didn't scare me. It just answered the question as to why my leg hurts right now. And I remember it killed me. I died by the lions. And then I forgave the lions, and then I'm like, okay, I don't need to remember that anymore. You want to know why? Because there aren't any lions running around today in our community. I do not need to hold that fear resonant in my mind, like ever. I don't even go to the zoo. So, you know, I just don't need to worry about or be concerned at any level about a lion ever eating my leg again or killing me that way. I didn't really feel like I needed to forgive the lion because lions are just doing what lions do, but I did anyway, just for good measure. I just felt compelled to do that. And then I felt a pain in my back. I had a vision of a chariot running over my back and breaking my back, and I ended up dying. So throughout the night, I died at least 20 times. And each time went through the process of doing the release, doing the forgiving, doing the forgetting. But then the coolest thing happened outside. It gets even better. I had this eyes closed, feel it. If you've never watched this on YouTube, stop right now and go watch this on YouTube, because you need to see the grimaces and you need to see the whole what I'm talking about. So I'm doing the lion's eating my leg, and I'm really acting it out as if it was the moment of my death. And then releasing it. And then I got this idea that, how did you get here? And I'm talking about literally in that moment. So I'm having this vision of I'm in another time and place. I've died. And then I open my eyes and I'm in Encinitas and I'm outside under the stars next to the fire. Everything's cool. Remember, I couldn't have made it any better if I tried. So I went from this place of I'm dying to this place of perfection that I could not have made any better if I tried to. And then I realized that's what you've been doing all night long. You got into this intense, as much as you could stand it, experience and died. And all the near-death research that we've done describe it the same way. People are really intensely experiencing something and then their soul spirit slips out. They see the white light. They have a meeting with the elders or the guides or God, the great white buffalo. They're told your time isn't right yet. You still got some work to do. I mean, there's many different versions of that story, but then coming back into the body, they'll all say, I really didn't feel, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't terrible. It was intense, but then it was okay. There was a release. I let it go. I slipped out. I looked back. I was able to see my body. Go, wow, you know, that's my body down there getting burned or getting whatever, but I'm not having that experience.
Right.
So what I got was, that's what death is like. It's intense, and then it isn't. And then you realize I'm completely safe. I'm completely at peace. I'm actually in post-orgasmic bliss. So tell me that's not something to actually look forward to, right, rather than fearing, right? So who would fear post-orgasmic bliss? Who would fear that? But we don't know how to do that. So it would be in a way like telling a 10-year-old how to have an orgasm that's never had one. So I want you guys to think about that for a minute. Go back, listeners, go back in your mind before you were at a point in your life that you had your first sexual experience. And I'm talking about first positive sexual experience for those that their first wasn't positive. To a time where you enjoyed that expression of your sensuality and sexuality and you had an orgasm. So imagine trying to describe that to somebody who's never had one. That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to describe post-orgasmic bliss through the moment of death pose, letting it go, forgetting, forgiving, realizing that you're safe now, and then going, oh my gosh, that's really all there is to death? And I liken that unto falling asleep at night. Mm-hmm. You go off in your dreams and you're having all these different experiences, solving problems, resolving conflict. And then you wake up in the morning, and in during that process of waking up, all we're doing is remembering who we are in this lifetime right now. Oh, I have to remember who I am today. I'm Jeff again. Another day of being Jeff. When I was all these other people, and all these other people I don't even know showed up in my dreams during the night, right? So we do this all the time. But this experience that I'm describing is a way that we can actually practice this so that we alleviate and ameliorate the fear of death, actually look forward to it as something that, oh, that's actually going to be really cool. completely gets rid of the fear. And one of the really cool byproducts of that is the relief of the pain and or disease that's in your body that you no longer need to carry around with you any longer. So am I saying that this is a one-time treatment? I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm actually saying the next day I hurt even more, and that's because of all the contorted poses that I struck and I was willing to get into and got temporary, so imagine a muscle going like this for 20 years. It's like that for 20 years. And you have the moment of death experience and you get it to go like this for a little while. Well, tomorrow morning, it's going to be like this again because that's what it remembers how to do and that's what it knows how to do. Even if you cleared the fear, if it was originally like that, maybe now it's only like this. And a week later, it might be like that. And a month later, it might be like that. And so a while later, it can actually be like this and you'll realize, oh my gosh, that's gone. I don't have that, whatever that is anymore. What I've also learned since that time in the last month, because I'm doing this in my practice with people who are ready to have these experiences and begin to let go of their fears and have it show up in their body as I don't have these aches and pains and these diseases any longer, is we may carry multiple levels of these deaths in one area of our body. Now, I can't prove that, but it's just kind of an inspiration or it's an idea or a theory that I got that if you have heart disease, for example, you could have 15, 20, 100 deaths associated with the heart, that's where your body stored it. So it might take 100 episodes of what we're talking about, of doing this in a yoga-like practice, doing this in a prayer like practice where you're literally exercising it like an exorcism out of your body. Because again, this is so new that we don't have the collection of data yet and the repository of anecdotal experiences to actually say what this is. But that's the download that I got.
I want to speak to that just a moment because it's important. Another very important thing in understanding, what do you mean it didn't heal it? Well, it isn't that it didn't heal it, but what we have to understand is that if you think about carrying a collection of energy for however long, even if it's just this lifetime, but if you think about it in terms of you've carried this energy in your experience for however long it's been there, to have it ripped out of your experience and be gone is as traumatic as having the original experience. So understand that evolution still exists in this whole process, and the process of transformation and growth is the same. So what you do in the process is that you have opened up and expressed that energy in a way that you have that has never been done before. And you can release it to the degree that you're ready to deal with the ramifications of that release. So you want to be able to integrate every level of the experience. So sometimes they clear this fast because they weren't that important, or your energy system was ready to make that adjustment and you did. But for many of the larger pieces that have been lingering for a long time, they take place over time because it gives you the chance to integrate the change in your field, because that kind of a change is radical. You're talking about a complete change of the entire field that you carry and all of the ramifications of that change. So it's not just my foot feels better. It's everything that's attached to the fear, the pain that goes back generationally, goes back in history, goes back in lifetime after lifetime. Imagine you pull that thread. If you just rip the thing out, what do you, it's like, it isn't like he was saying, pull the spear out of your foot. It isn't like just pull the spear out and it'll be better. It's when you pull the spear out, now you got to deal with the blood. You got to deal with the sand and the dirt and this and that. You got to treat it. You may have to do stitches. You may have to do, there's a lot that has to happen, but that foot's not going to heal for a good 6 months or a year. Just the foot. So imagine what your energy system goes through. So again, just more, at least again, from my experience, just more kind of layers of this process, that it is immediately impactful. You immediately experience the impact and it'll take time to integrate the result of that impact.
Absolutely. So we're still out by the campfire. I've had a whole...
Meanwhile, by the campfire.
I've had a whole bunch more of these moments of death experiences. I'm getting more and more clarity on how to transform them. So keep in mind, again, we either transmit our pain from one person to another through an argument, through a fight, through a fist, or we try to escape from it in a bottle, in a porn site, through an illicit affair, all these different ways that very creatively we try to, might even try to cut it out or chemotherapy it out, go to a chiropractor and it's like, doggone it, it's back again. Well, because we can't transmit it and have it go away. We can transform it. And we've been talking about this in our podcast for a while. The transformation is taking it out of the physical that's held in the body and transforming it back into the metaphysical, which is by seeing it as the fear that it was in the beginning. And once we see that it, there is nothing to be afraid of, we can jump over to the love side then. What is the love side? I have everything I need. I'm whole. I'm complete. I lack for nothing. I'm lovingly and wonderfully made. There's everything is always working out for me. And that's the reality as you're practicing this, because you know what? If you're listening to this podcast, you have a good life, period. If you have technology and you're listening to this podcast, you've got resources that a lot of people on the planet don't have. You may have a challenging life, but would you cash your life in and move to Tijuana and exchange it for somebody who's living down there? Probably not. So we have good lives. And that's, if we stay focused on that, now we're no longer operating in fear. But that has to be a practice that we also incorporate, where we've talked in a previous podcast about how the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. I think a better version or a more applicable way of thinking about that now is we have to do positive affirmations without ceasing. We have to positively program our mind continually, because as we talked about again in previous podcasts, if we don't, 70% of the time, if you're an average person, you will be thinking of something negative. So this is an active process that we have to be involved with in between doing these exercises that we're continually talking about in this experience that I had. And we're trying to get it out of my head, onto paper, into a workbook, into a book, into workshops that we're going to be doing. And you guys right now, the listeners, are getting to hear this right fresh.
Yes. It, while I know there is more, I would like to encourage our listeners to join us for the next episode, where we're going to take this to an even deeper level, thinking that it might be a good time, unless you feel like there's more of this right now that you need to convey, but this might be a good time to let people digest and kind of, a lot of information in this podcast. And a lot
was
of,
there? I thought that was kind of bland. It wasn't new. Nobody's ever, boring,
you know,
everybody's talking about this, aren't they?
Jeff was like, blah, 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 blah. And now we're now, so back to the original, where we started, I will ask our listeners to take a second again and where's your fear meter now? Where is it? What has this information done to impact you? And how has it impacted you? Are you feeling more curious? Are you feeling more interested? Has it raised the level of the fear? Are you fighting your demons about partying? Doing drugs? There's a lot of places you can go here, and none of us, we're not here about judging any of it. We just want to present this so that everyone has an opportunity to really explore this for themselves, because it's a game changer. It's a game changer, and it's a transformational tool that can really catapult things for anyone. That's the cool thing, is that has nothing to do with where you are. It has nothing to do with who you are, what color you are, where you're from, where you've been. It doesn't matter. We're all humans that have been through many experiences and lifetimes that we bring to bear here and now. And here and now is where we get to make change.
Absolutely. Good summary. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anything you want to wrap up with, Jeff?
No, we'll pick up with around the campfire in our next podcast.
Perfect.
Because there's a bunch more. We're about halfway through the experience. Then there's even more about the integration that followed in the days after. So there's a bunch more here.
Looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to it. Thank you all for joining us today. Again, www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. Come visit us. If you want to see us in action, as Jeff did, especially for this particular podcast, check out our YouTube page of the same name. On the YouTube page, you can see us talking instead of just listen to us talking. And we're on all the major podcast sites, and look for more and hopefully join us for the next episode as we continue this incredible journey in this adventure of truth.
All right. Blessings, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.